1st, inflation has driven up prices for a big variety of goods and services in recent months. In January, consumer prices rose at their highest rate in nearly 40 years. Inflation can mean our paychecks might not go as far at the store, but it can also affect things like our investments and our ability to save for the long run. A financial expert joins us now to talk about what inflation means for our long-term investment and saving plans and what we can do to protect our money. You can join in at 800-642-1234. How is inflation affecting your financial picture? Have you changed the way you save or maybe invest money because of the historically high inflation rates we're seeing right now? Have your wages kept up with inflation over the last year or so? What do you want to know about protecting assets from inflation? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@WPR.org. Lynette Calfani-Cox, also known as the Money Coach, is a personal finance expert. She's the founder of AskTheMoneyCoach.com. Her books include the New York Times bestseller, Zero Debt, The Ultimate Guide to Financial Freedom. Lynette, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you for having me. It's great to be here.
Before we dig into maybe specific assets or specific situations, big picture, what kind of thinking should we be doing about inflation when we're making our long-term money plans?
I think overall, since we know that inflation has hit most folks' wallet pretty hard, you need to be thinking about substitutions in a big way. And what I mean by that is the typical things that you would buy, the typical things that you might have done, probably won't work in this economy when prices are rising so fast. So all of us have to make some sacrifices and or changes, and substitutions in a lot of ways are one good way to deal with inflation.
Sometimes that's easier said than done. I saw one report that said a couple of the highest inflation items were pastries and electricity. I like pastries. I know I'm probably better off without them. I kind of need electricity for a lot of things in my life. Where can we hunt for the low-hanging fruit for that kind of substitution?
Well, I think you have to look at your budget and your everyday expenditures, you know, so the pastries might be something that you say, huh, you know what, instead of me having, you know, X favorite brand, let's, you know, say some, you know, brand name, can I substitute for the store brand? I don't know if they'll be as tasty for you. I don't know if the pastry will, satisfy the sweet tooth there. But the idea in general is that you don't have to deprive yourself overall, but you can use a substitute or a different type of product or service or whatever it is that you're buying that's less costly. And so when you think about things like electricity, yes, certainly we all need to, you know, keep the house and the apartment warm, that kind of thing. But even on that front, there are ways where you can comparison shop and make energy and or utility companies compete for your business to see, can I get the best possible rate? Can I negotiate for something that's, again, less pricey than what I'm currently paying?
Looking at the longer term, people might be thinking, you know, do I need to change my retirement strategy if they have retirement savings or saving for college tuition in 15 years or whatever the case may be? Given that inflation might be around for a while, it might be a year or two long blip. I don't know. Should we be making big changes, do you think, for that kind of long-term thinking, Lynette?
It's a great question, and it really does boil down to folks' time horizon and what the objective is, and frankly, also their level of risk tolerance. So you mentioned two things, for example, on the retirement front, that may potentially be decades away for some people, could be 10, 20, 30 years, or maybe somebody who's thinking about sending their kid to college. Well, if you have a, say, 13-year-old, you know, college might just be about 5 years off. If you have a 17-year-old, it might be next year. So you first need to look at what is the time horizon that you have, and as that relates to any kind of investment that you might make in order to meet the specific goal. And then you have to, of course, think about your risk tolerance, too, because it's easy for us to tell folks, don't worry about it right now. If you're investing and you have, you know, 10 or 20 years to retirement, you can afford to take more risks. You can afford to be more aggressive, perhaps in the stock market, to have a higher allocation of your portfolio towards equities or stocks. But if a person is not comfortable with that level of risk, if he or she can't sleep at night, you know, kind of loading up the portfolio with stocks, and if you're, you know, kind of freaked out, frankly, by seeing the gyrations of the stock market, and we know there's been a lot going on lately, not just related to inflation, but obviously supply chain disruptions, Russia, Ukraine, all of those things which are causing a tremendous amount of volatility. Simply put, if you're not comfortable with your current asset allocation mix or the, you know, mix that you have in terms of stocks, bonds, cash, or other investments, then that needs to change, because you don't really want to keep yourself up at night. You don't want to have sleepless nights, anxiety, or worries about your portfolio. You should really be able to sleep at night no matter what your investments are.
We're talking to the money coach, Lynette Kalfani-Cox, about saving, investing, and what we do in a time of inflation. You could join in at 800-642-1234 if you have a question to share, or you want to talk about how inflation has affected you, whether that's in your daily life or your monthly bills, or if you've made longer term changes. 800-642-1234 is the number to call. That's 800-642-1234. We've talked about policy related to inflation on past shows. We're getting personal this time, though. We're not looking for the big politics stuff. 800-642-1234 is the number. That's, or email ideas@WPR.org. Lynette, I want to ask about a question I know is close to your heart, part of your superhero origin story as a money coach, and that is debt. You've shared your story on this show, I think, about how you dug out from a huge mound of debt. Can you talk, first of all, a little bit for that person with a lot of debt, some of the basics for a plan, and then we'll ask maybe how inflation can affect that.
Sure. So I was a person who was mired in debt. You know, back in 2001 to 2004, I had $100,000 in credit card debt alone. And yes, it was awful, but thankfully I managed to pay it off in 3 years and never missed a single payment. It is the case that right now, because we're looking at the prospect of the Fed raising interest rates, that people who have debt are going to have a harder time for, you know, harder go of it. And we have to remember, you know, the what our central bank is sort of tasked with doing, right? Their job is to kind of navigate a tricky situation on two fronts. One is they're trying to, you know, maintain a pretty decent level on the employment front, but also to make sure that prices don't rise so quickly. So they're looking at interest rates. I'm sorry, I referenced employment, but they're looking at interest rates and kind of, you know, managing that front, but also looking at things like prices and, you know, whether or not they're skyrocketing. And we know that inflation hasn't been as quote unquote transitory as the Fed initially had hoped. So, the Fed has already said to us that they are going to raise rates. And you could, you know, take any number of economists or Wall Street analysts, et cetera. The sort of consensus is for a significant number of moves this year by the Fed, anywhere from 3 to 5 or more interest rate hikes. And so now you as a consumer, if you have things like credit card debt, most of which is variable rate debt, then those rates are going to be rising on you. And the cost of borrowing, of course, is going to get a lot more expensive. And again, not just, of course, for credit cards, but for all types of loans. If you need an auto loan, a student loan, if you're going to get a mortgage, et cetera, borrowing costs are going to be rising in 2022. So you definitely want to manage that debt wisely. And certainly on the revolving debt front, things like consumer debt or credit card debt, you want to knock that out as quickly as possible.
Let's bring on a caller now at 800-642-1234. Jerry is with us in DePere. Jerry, hi.
Jerry, hi.
Thank you for taking my call. Question, retired probably about a year and a half ago, 66 years old, and have our house paid for. But with the current rate of housing and everything else, we get a notice from our city that they will be doing, we'll be doing assessments this year, and that the housing market is up 20%, which most likely means that our tax rate will go up 20%. And on the other end, I'm watching the investments that we saved for retirement kind of dwindle away week by week. Any suggestions?
Jerry, thanks for the call, and I'm sure Jerry's not alone in this situation, Lynette.
Sure, and appreciate the call, Jerry, and the question. First, on the property front, kudos to you for having paid off your mortgage. You're in the minority there among a growing number of people who actually do have a home loan still on their property. But when it comes to property taxes, you actually do have probably more leverage and flexibility than you might think, because you can indeed appeal your property taxes. So I happen to live in the greater Houston, Texas area, and we relocated from the East Coast to this neck of the woods in 2019. Long story short, last year, tremendous gains in real estate prices here, as well as in 2020. And last year, we got a notice from our tax assessor, from our county tax assessor, saying, hey, valuations have risen. Here's what your new tax bill is going to be. And we said, oh, no, wait a minute. And we did, in fact, appeal. And most people don't know that you can appeal your property taxes in every state, including Wisconsin. And so it's not a matter of you just willy-nilly accepting what the local tax assessor says. You want to get comps, you want to show comparisons for other properties, et cetera. You got to do a little bit of homework, but you can nudge them towards a number, a lower number, that in turn will mean a lower tax burden for you as well. So that's one thing. On the investment front, certainly none of us has control over what happens in the stock market. And it's been a wild ride thus far, obviously, in 2022. We typically have that so-called January effect where you get a nice bounce in stocks. But I mean, if you look at the, you know, all indications, certainly if you're in technology, if you're in anything, even the S&P, if you look at the Dow, et cetera. So all of these indicators are neutral to negative. And so it hasn't been a pretty ride the first couple months of the year. And again, it doesn't help with, global geopolitical considerations weighing on the markets as well. What I can say is that the best thing to do, and again, I don't know if you need to tap your assets right now since you said you're 66, but if you don't need to sell any securities, I would recommend that you refrain from doing so. If you don't have to live off of those assets, I know it's uncomfortable to kind of sit through it and to kind of ride it out a little bit, but certainly when we find choppy times like they are right now, a lot of this stuff tends to be short-lived. So, Ukraine is a case in point. The day that Russia invaded Ukraine, the Dow Jones futures that morning were off like over 800 points. But miraculously, by the end of the day, the Dow had staged a remarkable comeback and was up about 90 points. So it's uncomfortable to be in there for the ride, but sometimes you really do have to sit it out.
Jerry, thanks for the call. We're talking to Lynette Kalfani-Cox right now, personal financial planner, founder of AskTheMoneyCoach.com. Looking at inflation, how it can affect our investment, our savings, our day-to-day budgeting. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What questions do you have about investing, personal finance, getting out of debt during a time of higher than usual inflation? If you have investments, are you worried about what inflation could mean for them? Have you changed your daily buying habits, shopping habits? 800-642-1234 is the number. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@wpr.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Verrett. We're picking up our conversation now with personal finance expert Lynette Kalfani-Cox about what inflation means for our savings, our long-term investing, our day-to-day money decisions. You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your questions, maybe changes you have made when you hear the news about inflation, when you see the news about inflation in the prices you pay for stuff. Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Let's go back to your calls now. Megan is with us in Eagle River. Megan, hi.
I'm wondering if Lynette could dive into a little bit more the appeals process for her property taxes, what type of research she did, who she appealed to. What is that process like? Thank you.
Megan, thanks for the call. I know things might work a little bit different in the Houston area than in Wisconsin, Lynette, but the basics if somebody wanted to appeal their property taxes. You talked a little bit about that earlier.
Sure. So the gist of it is that you have to arm yourself with data and documentation. You have to be able to show a tax assessor, whether that's your local county board or a specific official, why it is that your property is not as high in terms of the value that they think it is. So you might check out comps or comparable sales listings in your area for properties that have recently sold or that have been recently listed on the market. And so, of course, you want to give the ones that are lower in value, right? But you'll also want to look at things that are within a certain range. So typically, you know, no more than 1 to 1.5 miles away from where you live. Some people might find good comps, favorable comps, that is, you know, a block, 2 blocks, 3 blocks away. But you might be able to stretch it out a little bit and find a property or properties that are, say, 0.5 mile away or so, that are listed and or recently sold for a lower price than what the assessor is saying the value of your house is. So ultimately, they're kind of basing it on their best guess about market value, and they're putting a tax rate on that basis. So the more that you can show them in terms of empirical evidence, again, data and numbers to back up your assertions and your claims, the more likely they are to see things the way that you did.
Thanks for that call. We'll go next to Patty in Sheboygan. Patty, hi.
Hi. I was just wondering what your guests' feelings are on I-bonds that you buy directly from the Treasury Department.
I-bonds, Lynette.
Yeah, I think I-bonds are great. And I forget what the rate is right now or if it's still at... I want to say with some high level, given, you know, what you could typically get on a number of Treasury securities. But I believe it was, I can't even remember if it was honestly through March of this year, that the rate was somewhere kind of north of 5%. Don't 100% quote me on that. But I believe it was, a very attractive rate to still be able to buy I-bonds. So yes, overall, I think it's a great way for folks to have a little security and to get a pretty good rate of return on the fixed income side. You might want to consider TIPS as well. Those are Treasury inflation protected securities. Again, they're designed to kind of help you out during times of rising inflation. So those would be two things actually that I would say to take a look at, both I-bonds and TIPS.
Patty, thanks a lot for the call. Lynette, in our last minute or two, can you talk to the person out there who maybe doesn't want to think about their money situation, doesn't want to deal with these things, or is worried, too worried to even open up the books? How can you give them a pep talk to get started?
Sure. I guess the main thing that I would say is that as overwhelming or potentially scary sometimes as money matters can seem, it's actually worse to kind of stick your head in the sand and do nothing, or have what I call the ostrich syndrome. And that oftentimes the things that you most fear or worry or have anxiety about, A, they don't come to pass, and B, you actually feel so much better when you tackle them. Even if it's as simple as you making a things to-do list and having 2 or 3 items that you put on that list to do, and that you accomplish for, say, the month of March, each task that you knock off that list puts you in a better financial position, makes you stronger financially, builds those economic muscles, as it were, and it helps you for a better and brighter financial future. So don't fear, don't worry, don't have too much kind of trepidation about the state of affairs and everything. Focus on the things that you can control, the things that are within your power to do, and then get about the business of doing them.
It's a good place to leave it. Lynette, thanks again for joining us today.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Lynette Kalfani-Cox is also known as the Money Coach, personal financial expert, and author of a bunch of books, including Zero Debt, The Ultimate Guide to Financial Freedom. She was with us today for a look at the ways that inflation can affect our long-term savings and investments and some advice on what we can do about it. Still time for you to let us know what you are doing about it, how inflation has affected you, short or long term. Let us know over on the Ideas Network Facebook page, or you can always tweet us at Central Time WPR.